with us, and glad you're here. We have all, we need to excuse Royd Hatt. He's unavailable for tonight. We have the other four board members here, Superintendent Davis and Jared Black, the business administrator. First of all, we would like to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will begin with the fun part of the meeting. We would like to honor the academic All-State, and I've asked Superintendent Davis to do that.
Tonight we have three academic All-Staters coming from Emory High School through all sports and going into winter sports with swimming. I've had a lot of experience working with high school athletics, and no one works harder than academic All-Staters. Not only are they involved in varsity level athletic programs, which includes an enormous amount of time and preparation through practice and training, road trips, the actual meets and matches and games, and all that go with being a part of an athletic team, but they have to keep their grades up. If the challenge of the competition isn't enough, they are also challenged with keeping the grades up. And these aren't just passing grades. These are grades that most of us are envious of. The State Utah High School Activities Association each year honors 10 student athletes in each sport, in each classification, with an academic All-State Award. You need to have a 3.75 in order to apply, and it is very competitive because you're dealing with a number of other schools and a number of other highly motivated student athletes, and typically the average GPA of the academic All-Staters in any given sport is at 4.0 or very close. I have the utmost respect for these students and the work that they put in, and in almost every case, they're team leaders. They set the tone, they set the example for their teammates, especially the young student athletes coming into programs. These are awarded only to seniors. And so tonight I'm very proud to present three. If you will come up when I read your name and accept the award, and then if you will go down the table, the board members and Jared would like to also congratulate you. So first of all, in 3A girls basketball, we have Lainey Jensen.
Congratulations.
That's true.
Both Alan and Lainey are also on state championship team. represent them. And Laura would now like to make some presentations to our swim team.
I have a vested interest in the swim team. I, you know, we've seen the swim program evolve from nothing to what it is today, and it's been a great asset to our school district. We've seen many talents blossom through this program, and I know firsthand the time that it takes. You're there early mornings to practice, and you're getting in physical shape and learning to be competitors. And I think that a big thank you and acknowledgement goes out to your coaches, Lance Witzel and Andrea Johansson and Kaylee, I want to say Edgehouse, Van Wagner. And can we have them stand? There on the ground floor at the state swim meet, and it was just an amazing experience to see the competitive spirit of these young men as they were up against some large schools that have big programs and recruit some really fabulous athletes, and to see the determination, the competitive spirit of these athletes. And not only that, to see them cheer on their fellow teammates was just amazing. And I think that the caliber of these young men are amazing. And we are very proud as a school board. We're very proud of you. And we'd like to honor you tonight. If you would please come up here, and we have a certificate for you. So is that what you have? Yeah. So come on up, all of you.
Let me read off your names. And then come up and get you back here and take a group picture. And we also have a presentation for each of you coaches as well. Okay, Asher Beagley. Eli Beagley. Thank you. to get our academic all staters in there too.
I just want to say real quick, academic all state, I looked him up just for your information. Boys football, the average GPA was 3.993. For girls basketball, it was a 4.0. And for swim, it was a 3.985. So that tells you the grades and the what these kids do to be on the academic all state. So that is awesome.
You all look good. Thank you.
Also, before you leave, I think we need to mention the girls' swim team did an amazing job.
They did.
They were third in the state. So we're proud of them as well. Good job. And you're welcome to stay, but you're welcome to go. This is kind of boring.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm breathless.
Tell them to stick around.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
I hate to ask, but my camera was on the time. Can I get a picture of you presenting Alan's academic update one more time? Because I
absolutely
didn't get it the first time.
That's worth waiting for.
Thank you so much.
Well, this doesn't happen all the time, so we want to make sure.
He's such a kid.
Thank you.
He's such a good kid.
Settings button over here on the right hand top right hand side.
If you click on that, what this app allows you to do is follow schools. So if you follow three different schools, when you go into the calendar, the Facebook, it combines all three of those schools into one calendar, one feed. So it's nice if you have grandkids or if you have, you want to follow these certain schools, then you select which ones and then it combines them. So as you can see, we can go up to Canyon Junior High School. We're going to click on that. And so I can follow all, which is their inbox messages, their Instagram, and their calendar is right here. Now, you notice that KU does not have a Facebook page, so it's not listed. If it, they did, it would be listed. You'll see that in other schools. So it lists all the available options. So we go back to, we can pick another school. So let's say we want to go to, where's your? All right, yep. So if we go to Emory High, you'll notice that they have news, and so their Facebook news, and also their Facebook photos, and their calendar, and their inboxes. Okay, so what their inbox is this is uses our Blackboard or their Parent Link software. If they send out a message and they want to push it to the app, they can do that. And if you subscribe, even though you don't have a student, you'll receive the notifications they send through that Blackboard app. It will come up on your phones by just selecting. That's what the inbox message is. The news and photos will show you where you'll see that, but that's where it'll pull those news feeds or photo feeds into the app. And it'll just list them all from all the schools you've selected. Okay? So after you're done selecting schools, you'll go back, out of settings. And now that we've selected something, you'll see these top stories. These top stories, it basically just pulls feeds from Facebook, their website, and it just scrolls through them. Okay? So let's go ahead and click on calendar. So now, again, once you click on calendar, it combines, it will be Emory High's and Canyon View's calendar in one spot. So you can see on Wednesday, these are the things that are happening in those two schools that you've selected. Okay? And you can scroll down. You can also select, instead of just a list view, you can do a calendar view. If you click on that, it'll show you dots. If you click on a certain date, it'll show you the activities for that individual date. Okay? So let's go back. Directory. So anybody in the community can click on directory. If they click Emory High School, okay, it will give you their phone number, it will give you the email that we have associated with that school, their address, their website, and it is active. So if you're using this on the phone and I click on the phone number, it's going to populate on your phone. You hit send, it actually dials the phone number. If you click on their email address, if you have it set up on your phone, it'll automatically take you to your email and send out the email to that, to Stephen G, to Stephen Gordon. And if you click the website, it'll take you launch to their website. Okay, so that's the directory part. Cafeteria, we've linked this. We've got, Janine has.
It's not a good night for technology.
So what Janine has done is she's actually put the lunch menus in a Google Calendar. And so if you select cafeteria, it will bring up the calendar and it will actually tell you what each day they're having for lunch. So the parents can say, well, what are they having for lunch today? They click on the calendar, they click on the date, and they'll actually populate that and show them what we're having. Okay? There's other things we have links for. Obviously, the tip line, we use that a lot. The tip line is has at least one, if not multiple people associated to us. So as soon as a tip is given, it automatically forwards by email and by text message. We've just barely implemented that to the principal. And if it, there's a couple on a couple of different schools, they've indicated that they want on the tip line. The photos is the feed that you're getting from, again, the schools you selected. It will pull the photos from the schools you wanted to follow. Sports will go out to Max Preps, so the high schools mainly. It'll actually go out to Max Preps, looks for those two schools and gives you scores. We do have links to Aspire, which is our main SIS. It's just a web link, but it does give you a link to that. It also gives you a web link to lunch payments, so they can go make a payment by following that link. It gives a link to UEN and the resources at UEN. A superintendent's message. It does Facebook. Again, it combines the feeds of all the schools you collect you wanted to follow. Settings is where you're going to go back if you want to go back and do those same, follow, change your follow schools. That's in that settings as well. And then the activity stream kind of combines all of the web and social media into one location. And also the push notifications. So if you click on activity streams, it'll bring up all of those into one feed. That makes sense. Okay, so that's really nice for the people that don't have kids in the school system. But now, I'm going to show you a tool as a parent. I can go into the student info, I click on that, and it asks for a username and password. Now, we are creating a letter for every student can log in as themselves, and they will only see themselves. And then every parent, even one for mom, one for dad, will have a user ID and password they can use right here. And this allows them to log in, and then it populates all of their students in one place, so they don't have to go into each of those students. We'll show you that. I do have permission from Lori Tuttle to show you this information, so data privacy laws.
Disclosure.
Okay, so the first thing it does when you first log on, it says, now that you've logged on, let's do the settings. So something, again, they have follow schools, and we've already went through that. But what else is nice is these are the other notices they're going to get. So if they have attendance, if your student's missing school that day, it will actually push it to their phone and say, Tamri Tuttle was out of school today. It will also give you missing assignments. It can give you a class drop, and you set the grade. So as a parent, I can say, if Tamri's grade drops below C, I want you to send a notification. It'll actually send a notification to the parent that her grade in that class went below a C. And this is actually adjustable by the parent when they set this settings up. They can also do low scores that way. So if they want to know if Tamri got lower than a 70% on any of her coursework, they'll actually push a notification to the parent saying, hey, she got 65% on this last test. You may want to ask her about it or help her with that test that she just had. It also allows, we do automatic calls if the lunch balance is below zero. But this allows them to set an amount, so they can say if their lunch balance gets to $5, send a notification to me so I can remember to send lunch money out with the student provided. You can obviously, if these are annoying, you can turn them off. It's up to the parent. Okay? I can tell you at 1 o'clock, I've been testing this, I get a lot of messages. So, again, if there's a... We're good. Say, what else is nice, again, we log in as Lori, and so now you'll notice that we see her three students. We also see her information. So she clicks on herself. She can look at the demographics we have for hers. The schools, how she wants the delivery, she has what phone numbers we have for her, her email address, her address, and then her three students. So if we have any of that information wrong or she notices that wrong, she can contact the school and say, hey, I need you to fix it, and we can fix the data. If we go back, now we can go into the students. So let's go into Brody. Hopefully he's up to date. Okay, shows where he's at, level, it shows his essays. But what's nice is it says, okay, upcoming assignments. What upcoming assignments does Brody have? So if you click on that, it'll show up. And what class it's in. If we go back out, then we can look at missing assignments. So if we click on that, it'll show any missing assignments they have in any of the courses.
Yeah. No missing assignments.
That's why she was willing
okay.
to do that.
Yeah.
We can also go to the class. If we click on class, it will list all of his classes. It will give his grades. If we want to drill down, we can click on physics and say, why is he getting
Smart
a C+? And look at the assignments, and we can also look at the attendance of that course. Okay? Let's go back again. Okay, it also gives his cafeteria balance, the phone number we have associated. We have trained parents that this is the number the parent does call to notify him messages at the school. And it also gives the email address for Brody.
Because if their grades aren't updated, then the information the parents are seeing is going to be out of date. So they've got to make sure it should be.
Oh, yes. So if you go to attendance, it does show that he has 49 activities, and that does count. So that's not... That's total 49. So phone reports 38, doctor's excuse 5, and then it'll actually break it into each one of the days and when he had the one period. So if you wanted to see that, you could do it either direction. Mm. And I think that's it. That's it. Any questions? Now the challenge is going to be, so like I said, parents don't love it because it notifies them. And I've had a lot of feedback they want their password right now because they love it. The
me
students
too.
Are going to
hate
it.
Not so much.
It's going to be an
instant
like, give me
one
now.
Give me one.
And I went around with, I did go to Centerville. I'm actually meeting with Emory High staff. I talked to KU staff. The trick is going to be, and it's always been with SIS, is we expect the teachers to keep up to date.
Yeah.
And so they got to be really careful on their due dates. When is an assignment due? Because if they put in the wrong due date and it's due, every parent in their class just got a push notification. They're going to get a call, hey, my kid just went from a B to a C or whatever. And so it's going to be imperative that the students, I mean, the teachers keep up with their grade books.
Yeah, that would probably be the hardest part.
So that's going to be the biggest struggle and their toleration of the. But I think that the more, this will involve parents. I really think this is really going to involve them with their academics of each one of their students to see exactly, there's no question what they're doing, how they're doing, and where it's at.
I like it as a board member, just because I can quickly look on it and I can see what's going on in the schools.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so I can just pull it up and go, oh, there's something going on at the high school today, and then.
The other thing I have discussed with all the independent admin is we're going to try to be better about, not only are we going to put the event, but where's the event, what time it is.
That time, great.
That's one of the feedback I've got from the community, it's like, yeah, can you view as a basketball game, but what time is the basketball game? Is it at, can you view as a half over?
Right.
And so we are trying to get better about making sure that there's a location and time on those event, on those calendars. So when you go to the calendar, now the calendar is the same as their website, it just, this app pulls it from there, so whatever you see on the website is the exact same calendar that the app sees.
So this makes it a lot more easier to, convenient to go to this. How labor intensive was this for you to develop? I mean, this boggles my mind, but I mean, to develop an app like this.
Well, Blackboard, the company we do apparently for, actually provided the app. So the hard part for us has been testing it and making sure all of the data, it is the data thing, is more than anything, is trying to get the data from SIS in here and correctly and work out some of the bugs. It was hard.
And the teachers are buying in, I mean, they're.
I've had a few that want to complain a little bit about, I got to keep, but again, I talked to them about due dates, and it's always been, the point is it's always been that way. It's a state mandate, so we have to have a way that parents can electronically see what their kids are doing. And so it doesn't matter to me if it's on the web or if it's on your app, it has to be current or not meeting that need of the parent. And so it's just going to take a little bit of training with those, again, due dates and diligence. There is a few that don't want to use the gradebook as much, and I'm like, that's our vehicle to inform parents. I mean, that is the vehicle. So I haven't had too many. Honestly, most of them love it because they have kids in the school system and they want their password just like the rest of the parents.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, not much.
Oh, good.
We'll see how Emory High goes Tuesday.
Okay.
So, any other questions about it?
I'm, thank you.
Impressive.
That's just,
Gary,
thank you.
Like I said, I mainly want to give this presentation so you're aware, if public people ask you about the app, you would be able to at least understand what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what it shows. So. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Doug. Gary.
Yeah. Gary, are you staying around? We'd like you to be. We do the financial things and all of the stuff that you go with that. I know, but you're a part of that. So if you're not here, thank you. Since you don't get here enough for us to thank you for what you do.
She ought to come every month.
Oh, she should.
I bet she really wants to. She's hoping that we would have her come.
She charges.
That was so nice of you, Doug.
Funny.
She wants to slap her foot right now.
All right, we'll continue while you get that okay. The consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for February 2018 meeting, and the financial reports for February 2018. Are there any concerns or anything that you need to bring up while we're?
I move that we approve them as they were presented.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval?
I do not have any.
Okay. Approval of spring athletic schedules.
Yes, I included two in your board packets, a track schedule from Emory High School and a track schedule from Green River.
Mm-hmm.
I have reviewed those and I would recommend approval.
Okay, any discussion on that?
I'll make the motion to approve them.
I'll second that. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Back up to me. Appointment of board negotiation representatives. And I've kind of talked amongst us. Let's see, I think you put that, told us what they were last year. Marie, you were on the...
Certified last year, I think.
Teachers with you.
Yeah, Marie and I were on that.
Negotiations. Okay, so certified, and you were on, which one were you on, Mackenzie?
I was gonna look and see what it was called.
Classified?
Classified.
Okay, so would you like to, you and Roy, or is that okay to go on the certified? Marie and I would go on the classified. Okay. Okay, let's go to principal's report.
Oh, thank you.
Principal, you're up, Johnson. Thank you for letting us be here.
Oh, it's very nice. It's always nice to have you. Most important thing, of course, is that there's some refreshments for you.
Yay, thank you.
For the ride home or whatever you want to use it for. The most important thing I can say is a sincere thank you to the people who are in this school. The aides, the teachers, the cafeteria folks, our custodians, I mean, our volunteers. We have some wonderful volunteers. Marie's playing the piano.
I paid him to play for us.
She even played songs I knew.
She's amazing.
But, you know, there's so much that goes on, it just kind of happens. You know, I don't have to have my finger in every single pot, and things just happen so well. And so I'm very grateful for the faculty and the staff of Huntington Elementary. They do a good job. Particularly, we've had Debbie Murray took over the cafeteria when he retired. She's done a wonderful job. She's been so conscientious. I've been leaving. She's come back to take care of business and make sure things are working, you know, and that's on her own time. That's not time she gets paid for. So she's very concerned, making it work really well. Danny Tuttle is completing her teaching degree. She'll have that done at the end of this year, and in about, I think it's the end of April, she'll have that completed, and that will be a elementary ed and special ed degree. And so that opens up some possibilities for us. We have two teachers that are expecting. Jessica Wright will be having her baby this month, Tiffany Tuttle is expecting, and she'll be with us until the last week of school.
Oh, wow.
So she's going to make it that long. I was relieved. I was thinking it was the first of May, and I thought, oh, boy. You know, congratulations to them. That's pretty neat. We will have one teacher retiring. She hasn't given an official letter yet, so I won't mention her name, but so we'll have some changes happening in our school next year a little bit. Some retirement always changes things around a little bit. So we'll see how that goes and what happens. But in some ways, I'm a little jealous. But we'll get there. Okay, let's see. We had, we're doing some after school activities. We had two slime classes that had about 25 kids in each class. I had a blast. We made five different, well, they took home three. We made four, they took home three different kinds of slime. And we even had parents in here making slime with them. It was just a lot of fun. Their hands were covered with food coloring. It was just a blast. And as the weather gets warmer, hopefully by the end of this month, we'll be doing some rockets after school, air rockets, water rockets, and chemical rockets, and some robots where we teach the kids to actually make. It's just a mindless robot that works with switches to make it change direction and go different places. But they learn to solder, they learn electrical components as well as electrical circuitry. Right. So we're going to do some of that after school. I want to brag a little bit about Octocnology. I should have said thank you to Doug and to Wayne and who's the other guy?
Brian.
Brian. I don't know why, I can't get his name, but he's here also, and they have just really worked hard. We have a ratio of one device to 1.07 students. And how that has happened is we have a new lab. We got a new lab this year. That was our rotation. We came up first on the rotation, and so we have that. So we have a new lab with 30 computers. We have an old lab that we'll be responsible for. I'm not sure quite sure how we're going to handle that, but we'll make it work with 30 computers. So there's 60. We have 100 iPads in 3 mobile carts. And so they're used all over the building, and they're used daily. Every day, someone has it somewhere. And we also, this year, because of the rotation, we have 6 Chromebooks in 12 classrooms. So that's 72 Chromebooks. I've asked the teachers if they wanted to put those in a couple of carts and move those around, and they're very possessive of those 6 Chromebooks that they have. Let's see, is it 6 or is it 5? I can't remember, but anyway. They would actually like a couple more in each classroom. The upper grades are looking more, thinking more about they'd like to have a classroom set because of the different kind of work they do, yeah. Other than the centers like in the lower grades. But I'm very proud of that technology. The other thing that is very good is that we have a very old building with very thick walls, and so the district ended up putting a Wi-Fi hotspot in every single classroom, instead of just every other one as it was planned. And that just, it's been wonderful. There's no problem with technology, and it's just marvelous. And it's being used, and we're becoming more tech savvy and tech operating. Melissa Jansen, our computer specialist, is focused on not only the programs we use, but on helping the kids learn to type. She's even teaching the home row to kindergartners and first graders, helping second graders get a little more than that, and then really starting in with the third grader. Some little hands just don't quite make those keys, but she's helping them get to there. And I think that we'll see a difference in our reading writing scores because the kids can type. Mm-hmm. That makes a real difference, more than I think we thought it would at first. So we're excited about that. And she's been doing a wonderful job for us. I was very glad to steal her from Canyon View. Let's see. Okay. And the last thing is, we've had some concerns about reading. Some of this has come from, because my wife is at the high school, and Ryan talked to her about his concerns about reading. And so we said, well, if they're at high school and they're not reading as well as they should, that starts way back. It doesn't start in the junior highs, it starts in the elementaries. Peggy, being if she gets a challenge or something, she researches it. She's very focused. I've got to find out about this. So she discovered that at Emory High, I don't know if this should be in your minutes, but she created a list of 72 kids that read at a sixth grade or below level based on SAGE scores and the STAR, thank you, and the STAR reading. Some of those are special ed kids, some of those are not. So there is a concern. And so our question has been, what do we do here now? Now, we have at our school, we have Dibbles that gives us some very good information about reading. And our Birch groups are incredible. Jennifer Mortensen is our Title I teacher. And we've got as many as we've been able to afford with our Title I money. We're looking at maybe using some land trust money to get a few more aides to teach the Birch class. That's where we've had the best intervention for reading, is in that Birch class. And most of that reading has to happen K through 3, because in the fourth grade, by the time, and even some in the third grade, by the second half of the third grade, they're expecting them to comprehend rather than learn to read. And so, you know, it's a challenge that we're looking at. So any input, any feedback that you have about those things, I'd love to hear. That's kind of the direction we hope to take things as we continue on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. thank you for being here, and if there's anything I can do for you, let me know.
Thank you for all you do and your staff. Thank them for their efforts, and I appreciate you bringing up that reading concern. That's a concern to us as a school board, and it's good to address and look at it and see what we can do to help students.
I think we're on the right track with our PLCs. I think that's a place where we can address that district-wide and within our own schools, and maybe do some things to help those kids.
I think that's the focus, right, Superintendent?
Certainly.
If I could just add, I volunteer in 5 different classes, and I think I have seen you in 4 of those classrooms, you personally. And I think it really helps the morale of the teacher, and I know that the kids connect more when you come in. And I, as a board member, appreciate the principal being out in the classrooms.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not there as much as I should be, but I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks again. Business administrator's report. Jared, do you have anything?
Just one quick thing to talk to you about. Of course, we're kind of on the edge of our seat with the legislative sessions ending up, but I think Superintendent will talk a little bit more about that. I have been working this week on our application for NESS. When we say NESS, that stands for Necessarily Existing Small Schools. And just wanted to update you a little bit on that. It is a major source of funding for our school district. And with the changes that we've made this year in our grade configurations, Emory High pretty much drops off from being a NESS qualifying school. But a couple of our elementary schools who have either been borderline or not qualifying will probably qualify in the future, being Cleveland Elementary and Castledale Elementary. Anyway, the net effect of that I expect to be about the same, so not expecting that we particularly gain or lose any funding, but of our 10 schools in the district, probably 6 or maybe 7 will be designated as NESS schools or Necessarily Existent Small Schools. So I just wanted to give you that information.
Okay, thank you, Jared. Yep. Appreciate that. Superintendent.
Yes, the board bulletin includes 3 bullets recognizing some achievement in our district. I wanted to mention those. You were aware that we had a robotics team up at the state legislature, and I was there when our team was there, and I was very proud of the way they handled themselves. A lot of people stopped by the Emory District booth and watch those kids work with those robots, and they were having a lot of fun. Rob Murray was there with them, and just another, I think, high praise event for the robotics program. Also, I'm sure you're aware, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but the girls basketball team won the state championship for Emory High School. And we will try and get them together for our April meeting. I think those things are kind of fun, aren't they?
That's great. They need to be acknowledged.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've come to expect these awards for our business department, but nonetheless, they mean a lot, and they certainly speak to the professionalism and caliber of employees that we have managing one of our most vital resources, our funding. So congratulations to Jared and Jackie and Carrie and the business department for receiving this recognition. I would like to update a couple of things out of the legislature. I spent a lot of time up there physically. This week I've been watching live streams. Things are really starting to get serious since it's the last couple of days. I'll be spending a lot of hours there tonight and all day tomorrow. Session ends at midnight tomorrow. But a couple of things that have surfaced just in the last couple of days, and maybe you've read about it or heard about it. One involves the Our Schools Now initiative, and there is some action on the Hill that would create a compromise of sorts, a legislative compromise with the Our Schools Now people, which would pull the Our Schools Now initiative and replace it with an initiative to increase the gas tax by 10 cents per gallon. That would also include the freezing of the property tax rate that was part of the JLC proposal to begin with. There was a hearing just before I came over to this meeting, a committee hearing on that initiative. It passed through, and I just checked for an update, and it's already up to the third reading on the House floor, so it's flying through. Nolan Karras spoke in the hearing representing Our Schools Now. He spoke in favor of it. Several others, there was no one in the room, and I wasn't in the room, so I don't know how many were there, but there were a lot of people that wanted to speak in favor. They couldn't hear from all of them, and there was no one in that room speaking against it. JLC, because this thing's moving so fast, hasn't taken a position, but Terry Shoemaker, who represents JLC and the superintendents and USBA, spoke in favor of it. And I have talked to our local legislators in support of it. So that one is very active. Another one that has surfaced is House Joint Resolution 16, which is another ballot initiative. This one would eliminate the State Board of Education. Mm-hmm. And it also is going through at a pretty rapid pace. The good thing about these two, whether you agree with them or not, is that the voters will decide. If they go on the ballot, it will be up to voters to make that decision. And the State Board of Education resolution is supported by the governor, is supported by both House and Senate leadership. So it has a very good chance of getting through to make it on the ballot this coming November. So we're watching that one very closely. The juvenile justice amendments look like they're going to pass. That would give us 2 years where we can go back to referring Class C misdemeanors to court, including truancy. Oh, there is a sunset on that after 2 years, but it gives us time to put together some interventions and ways of dealing with it. I'm going to, if it does pass, then I'll be meeting with the principals next week in our administrative council, and we'll talk about some strategies. I don't think it would be prudent for us at this point to, because we can, and I should back up a little and say if these amendments are approved, they take effect immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't think it would be prudent for us to suddenly send 30 kids to juvenile court, because that's kind of where it's backed up to. Mm-hmm. So I want to have those discussions with our principals and maybe come to an understanding with those students that they can be referred to court and they need to get to school. Use that as some leverage, but we'll have that discussion. The concurrent enrollment enhancement bill, which would give the decision making as to who is eligible to teach concurrent enrollment classes in secondary schools to the Board of Regents rather than to department heads when we go through USU Eastern. And that has created some problems for us in the past. So. And that one looks promising to go through. The fee requirements for use of SIS that we were concerned about has been pulled. There was not enough support for that, so we will be using SIS and we will be using it at no cost to the district going forward. And another one that is going to help us as we pursue CTE pathways and STEM ed programs and internships related to those programs is the student internship liability bill, which would remove liability for students participating in some of the internships. For example, we were concerned if we had the EMT program that there would be some liability for our students. But this bill will protect them. And there are a whole lot of other ones going through the finance bills, and the actual money amounts are kind of being bounced around. The last I heard that we're looking at a 4% on the WPU. The equalization bill, it looks like Fillmore's bill is going to go through. That's the one that takes 30 plus million out of the ed fund that we were opposed to, but it also includes a transportation bill, $5 million for each of the next 5 years to bring transportation subsidies from the state closer to the 85% average where it should be. We've been around, is it 65%, 60, 65%. So that should help us. And also that bill would include some funding for NESS as well, increase the NESS funding. So those are some bills we're watching, and it's all gonna come to a head tomorrow night. Some committee updates. The evaluations committee has had the draft amendments, the proposals that we made going through our committee. We've been going through a comment period. I know Neil has been sharing that with his membership, and we've discussed it here with the board, and we've also shared that with the principals. So that is going to come to an end on Tuesday, and unless there are some concerns or requests for some additional modifications to that, then we'll be bringing that to the board in April. The technology committee has approved scholarships for two teachers and school administrator from each of our 10 schools to go to Rural Schools Conference this summer. That will be in Cedar City. It is focusing on blended learning. We just had all of our school administrators and our district office supervisors complete the blended learning course, which is sponsored through UETN. We were the first district to complete that, and we're proud of that. The schools are now finishing up what is called their roadmap, technology roadmap. We developed one for the district office, and I think good things are going to come from that. It fits in well with our professional learning communities, PLCs, and also with our teamwork and school city, all of these things that we've been working on. So we're proud to have that finished, and it was, I think, well received. The STEM Ed CTE committee, we held our first meeting earlier this week. It was designed primarily as an overview of where we're at with STEM Ed and with CTE pathways. We did get into some discussions about direction, where we want to go in our district, what we need to do to get there, and that will take us into our next meeting, which will be in April, we're going to be doing some sidebar work with that along the way and hold some smaller meetings and really work towards coming together with a consensus on that. And regarding the meeting we had with the governor, we haven't had much action on that since that January 11th meeting. I did communicate with Linda Gilmore. She's the governor's rural economic advisor, and she told me that they are putting together a follow-up work group on that. So I hope to hear from her sooner rather than later. Just a note about next month's meeting, we will have a work session at 6 o'clock and go through legislative action and the potential impact on our school district for that. So I'll have a report ready on that. And then I also included, I think you all got this in the mail or email, the Utah School Board Association spring meeting, regional meeting coming up at the end of this month, and that again will be held over at Carbon School District. And that's my report.
Would you mind just touching on the PLCs and the reading, how that's going to affect? I know that you're seeing that, how that's a goal to work on the.
Well, the PLCs are, the PLC is actually the entire district.
Right.
From that, spinning off from that, within each school and from school to school by grade level or by discipline are these collaborative teams where we've got the same grade level teachers or the same discipline teachers in secondary. Initially, they were working on breaking down standards, the standards that they're required to teach, including reading.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, they were developing common assessments. That's kind of where we're at right now. So that students being tested in Farron are going to be taking the same assessment as students here at Huntington, so that we've got a measurement of how schools compare one to another on these things. And a lot of that assessment is reading assessment. Mr. Johnson mentioned specifically Dibbles, and when he was talking about Emory High, the STAR reading test, which is a good measurement when it's taken early in the school year and periodically during the school year to show progress, hopefully, of students as they go through a school year. The feature I liked about STAR was that it gives a grade level reading benchmarks. At what grade level is this student reading? And then you can adjust from there. The whole idea of a PLC ultimately is to create individual learning plans for students. And by assessments, by various testing, you can determine where the students are at, and then teachers can determine design education programs just for that student. And with School City, we're not there yet. School City has been a slow process in adoption simply because of the training necessary and the time necessary for teachers to become adept users of School City. So we've been very patient with that, and Ryan has been very active in getting out to schools, helping with individual needs. When concerns arise, then we address those one-on-one in a lot of cases. But we've also been doing some faculty training, and we have School City representatives coming in later this month to do some training for trainers to help their own faculties. But once that's in place, then the teachers will be able to use that data. It is a data warehouse or a data platform to really show student progress and where they're at and what standards they've mastered, what standards they are lacking, and it should be a great benefit to teachers. And it's all done collaboratively, even with our non-core subjects and classes. So.
Thank you. I appreciate you clearing that up.
Hope it made sense.
It did. No, that's very helpful. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Any public comments? Neil?
I apologize for coming in so late. I was announcing the Cheer Spring show. I know you can't believe it, but they ran over it.
It's hard to believe.
I just wanted to say we had the opportunity to take seven teachers up to what's called Educator Day on the Hill on Friday, February 2nd, I believe. And during that time, we were able to meet with our legislators, and Senator Hinkins was very, very accommodating to us and visited with us. And we had the opportunity to meet with Mr. Davis and to sit down with him while we were up there and have lunch. And
that was awesome.
Had a very productive, I felt, meeting up there. we have, of course, yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock, we had all the presidents of the locals of the Utah Education Association had a conference call, and we were hit with the idea of a compromise. I then tried to speak during that, but conference calls, oh my goodness. And so I sent a letter to Heidi Matthews, the president of UVA. She called me at 9 o'clock last night. We talked for 45 minutes about concerns that I had. And my biggest concern was, we've been sold all along that this is going to be income and sales tax, which, because we don't have big shopping outlets here, and because we don't have a lot of rich people in Emory County, it doesn't hit us as badly. But gas tax really hits rural Utah. So I expressed that to her, and we talked around it, and we talked about equalization, and I was able to teach her a little bit about what centrally assessed property means and a few things like that that she didn't understand. She was under the impression that Emory District would be the big winner, one of the top winners in equalization. And so I was able to set her feet on the right path on that one. And we had a very good discussion. And I think it's something we've got to support. I don't see it as ideal for rural Utah. And I did, being the humble person I am, I did take it upon myself to represent all of rural Utah when I was talking to her and explain that if we want to go to the hospital, it's 30 miles away. Mm-hmm. If we just got to get to a Walmart, you're traveling 30 miles. My heart doctor's 110 miles. And try to help her understand it. We don't have public transportation here like they have on the Wasatch Front. And so we can't use that. I said, I can't ride a bus to school.
Yeah, it's not an option.
Like some teachers are able to do in the Salt Lake Valley or Utah Valley. And so that we're not getting the benefit of that, yet we're paying more in gas taxes. And she mentioned that, well, it pays for roads too. Well, having been mayor, I understand BNC road funds. And I said, that is delegated on the per mile. And I said, if you take from Castledale to Price, that 30 miles of just a two-lane road, that only goes a few miles on the freeway in Salt Lake. And if you just get off the freeway and drive the streets of Holiday, you have more streets in Holiday than we have in Emory County roads. And so I tried to explain that just a little bit, and it was good, but I don't think it's the ideal situation, but I think that in the end we do have to support it because it can provide a decent level of funding, and it may be something that the state legislature will get behind and support us in it now. until they sue us later on for being unconstitutional or something. I don't know, that may happen. But I don't think it will. I think that maybe we have a more working compromise. And so our stand is that we're supporting it with worries. Thank you.
Well, your association has really stepped up to do the right thing, and teachers.
Yeah, I feel like we have. We've
I think it's made a difference.
Right after it didn't start with us, it started with the business community.
Right, right.
We jumped in wholeheartedly, and that's why it was a little bit of a sock in the stomach to hear that it was being compromised. But that's politics, I guess. And something is better than nothing. And one thing that was pointed out during our phone conference was that this doesn't give us everything that we'd asked for as citizens of the state of Utah. And so there's still work to do.
Yeah.
And our legislators won't be able to say, what are you doing back here? We gave you everything you wanted. Well, they know they didn't.
Yeah.
And so we'll be back.
That's good. So that's good to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the work that you've done, Neil. That's taken up your personal time to do that. Any other comments? Do we have items for closed meeting?
I don't.
You have any?
No.
Okay, then.
I move. We adjourn.
Second that then.
Okay, all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
So help me understand, this 10 cents is specifically allocated. How much of it?
70% to schools, 30% to the rural roads.
Roads, yeah.
Like how much of it K-12, how much of it?
That hasn't been.
That's still totally.
The resolution is two pages. They haven't worked out details.
We're thinking that the 70.